Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're tuned into Life is a Sacred Journey. Every week, we bring a new perspective to aging and caregiving. Here is your host, Michelle Pope.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all my family and friends out in the virtual neighborhood of Life is a Sacred Journey. It is my honor and privilege to be here with you every Friday morning at 8 a.m. to talk about things that are happening with caregivers throughout the world, as well as things that we are pondering in our own local neighborhoods and communities, as well as the things that weigh heavy on my heart. I thank you for allowing me to take 30, 40 minutes out of your morning every Friday, and it is a privilege, it is an honor to know that all of you are out there supporting this effort to share with the world, because we have guests from all over the world that join us. I want to tell you that Jason Matthews from Matthews Financial and Insurance Solutions was going to join us this morning. But the great news is that as a dad, he gets to go on a virtual sort of activity with his son, who is receiving an award, and it's for citizenship and values. And I was just like, it's all right, we'll see you next week. So Jason Matthews from Matthews Financial and Insurance Solutions will be joining us next Friday morning, and you have me. So he let me know that in enough time that I was able to go back, and I went and tracked some stuff for you that I will share with you that I've learned, some new things, but some things that you can pick up on and go on Google or look at your local, I don't know, do people still read newspapers? I do, but your local newspaper, and just see where you can become involved or get more information. I want to thank all of you. Hit that share button. Like us. Have your own virtual watch party. Go to YouTube and like us, because Felicia does an excellent job in ensuring that all the platforms that Life is a Sacred Journey is on, she makes sure that we update those as soon as we drop. I'm learning all the technology, all the wording for this work. As soon as we drop our video on Friday morning. And I want to thank all of you who come back every single week to share your good mornings, to say hello, as well as those individuals. I want to say to Sister T, I did get the referral, and I will be getting in contact with the family member that you referred to ASAP. So if there's a family out there that is dealing with Alzheimer's, dementia, any kind of cognition, mental health, elderly, seniors that they're at home and they need some support and help, please give them the number to ASAP. It is 510-644-8292, and they do not have to speak to me because I'm not always here or I may be doing something, but we have a social worker and a program director and folks that can help guide you to resources and get you information so that you do not feel alone as a caregiver during this time of shelter, continued time of shelter in place and COVID-19 pandemic. Okay, so that's my little commercial. You know I don't normally do that, but because other folks have reached out and asked for support and help, I want them to know that it doesn't rely on me getting in contact with me, because I'm not always here or I'm on a Zoom call, and I don't want you to wait for help. So the number at ASAP is 510-644-8292. We're here every day from 9 to 3 p.m. Okay? All right. So, I've been tracking the COVID-19 sort of things that are going on as it relates to its impact on food, housing, and employment, specifically because I had the honor about 5 years ago to participate in a study with a group called the Third World or the Fourth World, I can't remember, but one of those, and it was done in Boston, Chicago, New York, and here in Oakland with St. Mary's Center. And I was a part of that group that at St. Mary's Center, where we collaborated together with individuals that were living within poverty constructs, whether it be homelessness, food deserts, technological deserts, whatever it may be. And it was the most incredible experience of one of the most incredible experiences of my life. I have to be careful because I have many incredible experiences, but this was one of them. And we sat together and really talked about poverty. And what we realized, or what I took away from it, is that poverty is the foundation of everything that we talk about. When a person doesn't have enough financial stability to manage their lives, whether it be their rent or mortgage or food or health care, education, the daily needs, then they are in a situation where they're not doing well. They're not doing well. And in this day and age, when we're fighting over whether or not we should increase the federal minimum wage, or people are worried about taxes or whatever, we have to understand that not everybody is living like us or has the advantages or privileges or whatever. You know, I sit back sometimes and I walk into my house and I, not sometimes, actually almost every day, I thank God. You know, and I'm not trying, for those of you that are that watch us that don't like hearing about God or that's not your thing, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm just telling you what I do and what is important to my survival as a human being on the face of the planet. So please don't be offended. I'm just sharing what I do, because I did get an email from somebody who said they don't like the idea that I bring spiritual context into Life is a Sacred Journey. And so I just want to say to that person, I'm sorry, one, that you were offended by who I am, but for me, the spiritual foundation that I stand on, that I sit on, that I kneel on, that I crawl on, I can't help but sharing that. I don't come here and do a sermon to people. So if you got offended, I am sorry. And if you're so offended that bothers you about the rest of the other content, I'm sorry. But at the end of the day, I can't be anything that I'm not. And so I say to you, I love you, to the person that wrote that to me, and I hope that you find something in Life is a Sacred Journey that you can take away that will impact your life or the life of somebody else that is around you, and don't worry about my spiritual life. Just take eat the meat and throw away the bones, you know, and it's all good, because that's not what this is all about for me, and if I can change the trajectory of somebody's life just by my words, that is great. But if it doesn't, it's not about that, because I know the universe will do what the universe does very, very well. And so I'm just a vessel. So I just wanted to shout out to that individual, because I want you to know I noticed, I read it, and I love you. All right? All right. So when I was tracking, I was looking at the COVID-19, and I actually went to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. This is a center that I actually get their newsletters, read them for my work here at ASAP, because we're constantly trying to figure out how we can raise funds, you know, what's the impact on certain policies and things on our seniors and families, caring for people in the home, all of that. So I spend a great deal of time reading, and that's why I have glasses on, because I need them to read. And so one of the things that I wanted to share with you, or all of the things that I'm going to share with you, are things that were already happening in our culture, already happening in our communities. But at the end of the day, now with COVID-19 and the pandemic and this long shelter-in-place sort of place that we've been hovering over, it is impacting more people and impacting the people that were already impacted in more severe ways. So let's talk about the first one. The first one is difficulty getting enough food. So That to me is one of the fundamental things that we could do better. You know, we have what they call food deserts in certain areas where they where those communities do not have anything but a local community store. And shout out to local community stores. My father was owned a store back in Boston when we lived in Boston, and it was called Milfrey's Variety. And that's what it was, and it had, and he made coffee and hamburgers, and, you know, that's where I learned to count money and learned my entrepreneurial spirit was from my dad. And it was a corner store, and it was, but he had fresh vegetables and food. My father was really big on all those things. But I'm talking about those corner stores where there's nothing but alcohol and canned goods and things of that nature. That is a food desert, because we already know if you look at a can of food, any food, you know, and I use canned tomatoes to make things, and I use canned beans, I rinse them, and all of those kinds of things. But I'm talking about that's your primary place of nutrition is in a can or a box. And they can't get the chef foods that get delivered to your home. The reality is the nutrition that those individuals that are living in those zip codes are eating is not nutrition at all. It's sodium impacted, and their health is impacted, and that's why COVID hit those communities much harder than it did communities where people are eating well and have access to fresh food and all of those kinds of things. And so one of the campaigns that I'm a part of now is let's take some of these open lots. And if you are a part of a community that has an open lot in your area or in your church grounds or whatever, create a community garden. And it's something that the community can do with you together. There is a church out in Livermore that has a community garden. It is flourishing. It is actually the city of Livermore participates in it, and people get fresh food bagged up there, and it's become its own nonprofit. So it's not even, it's on the church grounds, but it's its own nonprofit, and they are feeding thousands of people. So difficulty getting enough food is something that we can all participate in. You know, there's Share program. I know that they are asking for bags of food, and you can take those to 1645 West Street, and that we will make sure that somebody gets them. You need to call first so that there's somebody there because the church is not open. But you don't have to be a church to help these food deserts. When new businesses are coming into your area, let's be a part of our community and find out what kind of businesses are coming in. Why is there no Whole Foods Trader Joe's or those kind of stores in these food deserts, in these communities and zip codes that we want to act like those individuals don't deserve to have good food? Let's talk about how we can do that, how we can help food deserts. And so the statistics, just so that you know, because I always like to give you factual information so that you can go back and look it up. You don't have to take it from me. You can go back and do the homework that I already did for you if you want to prove me right or wrong. But 1 in 7 adults with children's household lacked enough sufficient food in the last 7 days. And this report was done on October 21st. So that's just yesterday, right? So 1 in 7 adults with children, their household lacks sufficient food in the last 7 days, okay? And when we're giving and donating food, let's not give them food that we wouldn't eat. I noticed that one day at a place that I was where people were bringing bent-up cans and everything. You wouldn't eat that, so don't bring that and give that to other people. Let's give them good food, okay? Let's give them food that we would eat. And again, most food programs will be coming up in November and December will ask for canned goods, but low sodium. Let's think about the end product, okay? Low sodium and nutritious things, hard to find in cans and boxes, but you can. And let's do a little shopping for these folks as we begin to go into the holiday season where we need to give a little bit more, and it's traditional that we do. So that's one. The inability to pay rent or mortgage. Now, there is a moratorium, and I believe the moratorium is until December 30th. You can check me on that fact. But there's a moratorium on evictions. But yet people are getting evicted all through the state of California. As I told you about 3 weeks ago, there was a family that I met who got evicted. I'm happy to say they are back in an apartment, a very small apartment, so that they can afford it. But the landlord that evicted them, he or she did not get into any trouble for doing that, even though there is a moratorium on rent paying, raising the rent, evictions. And so you know, I know it's hard. Oh, my gosh. I know it's hard for landlords, okay, because they sometimes they're just passing. Your rent is just a pass-through to, you know, to them paying their mortgage or paying their bills. But get on the phone. Talk to your landlord. Maybe you can give a portion of or something so that you're, again, stop. Let's stop saying we're in this together when there is no togetherness. If you're not communicating with anybody, you're not in together. So get on the phone. Call your landlord. Have a conversation, because maybe he or she is in the same situation as you are. And maybe if you put your minds together, you can figure out a way that you can stay sheltered, or you can figure out a way that you can help your landlord keep you in your home. If you have already been evicted, and this is something for folks to know, that I know in Alameda County there is a hotline. And if you go on the Alameda County Housing page, their website, or have someone do it for you, because I'm not going to assume that you have the bandwidth or even have internet in your home, and have somebody get that number for you and to support you so that you, in fact, can stay in your home, remain in your home, remain in your apartment or wherever you do live. And those of us that are already housed and fortunate enough, you know, let's count our blessings and be grateful that we have a roof over our head. Because the one thing that I do know, when you don't have a place to put your head, when you don't have a shelter, even if it's just a box that you can call your own, you're lost and you don't know where to begin. And it's hard to formulate a plan when you don't have a place where you feel safe. When I drive by my friends this morning at People's Park, they're still asleep. They're a community. And so even though they're sleeping in tents up there in the park, those tents are strategically close together, because they've become a community, regardless of the smell, regardless of the trash, regardless of whatever we see up there. And thank you, City of Berkeley, for sending people to help clean that area. The reality is they've become a community, and they support each other. So housing, even if it's a tent, is better than no housing at all, because when you're out in the street having to sleep on a cold sidewalk, or you're out in the elements, or you're out where somebody who is not well, either here or here, can attack you, you're in danger. And that's not what being a humanity is all about. But let me give you some statistics on that. And what we have found since October, many people, about 11.8 million adults living in rental housing, that's nearly 1 in 6 adult renters, have not caught up to their rent as of October, as of the writing of this report. So that's United States-wide. This is not a worldwide report. This is a United States-wide report. So the reality is there are people that are going to, once the pandemic is over, going to have to make up that rent, and that we're going to see another dip in people's financial sustainability, because they're going to have to pay it. And that's going to be really, really hard. So nearly 1 in 6 renters have not caught up on rent during the pandemic, and with Black, Asian, Latino renters facing the greatest hardship, okay? And 16% adults 26% black and not Latino. I don't know why they wrote it that way. Asian, 20%. Latino, 19%. Multiracial, 18%. And white, 11%. So this is affecting everybody. Everybody with Asian and black, African-American at the highest percentage. So please, let's do something about making sure that we understand. And then the next fact about renters, nearly 1 in 4 renters are living with children are not caught up on their rent. So that means there's not only an adult that will become homeless at some point, there's children that will become homeless at one point, and that breaks my heart. So that is 23% of the households in the United States have children in them. Only 12% have no children in them. And so children with households face food shortage, shelter shortage. Think about the impact on that generation of children and what that will mean to us as a country when those children grow into adulthood and begin to think about, will they even make it to adulthood? Okay? So that's rough for me. That's really rough for me because one of the things that I always did as a single parent, over 20-something years as a single parent, I always made sure that my children had a roof over their head, food, and I worked sometimes 3 jobs to make that happen. There were times that I didn't eat so they could eat, right, in the beginning, back in the day. But at the end of the day, we had a roof over our head. We had some food in the house that I could make more abundant, and I had a job. So the unemployment rate, we already know, the unemployment rate is skyrocketing. And people who are in the lowest wages, that means some of our essential workers and in the lowest wages, those individuals, low-wage industries, those individuals are losing jobs at a faster rate than people who have jobs that require degrees and things of that nature, as well as low-wage workers do not have as many benefits as people who have degrees and work in other situations, don't accumulate as much vacation time, sick time, all of these things. And so therefore they are more vulnerable when they lose their jobs. And somebody said to me the other day, well, a lot of people are staying on unemployment because they're making more money on unemployment than they made when they worked. Probably. Yes, there's always one person in any scenario that you can, you know, or a handful. So, these negative scenarios, so what? So what? Yes, there is somebody who is not working and using COVID and getting unemployment. So what? What about the other people? You stop thinking about the negative people. Let's think about the people we should be helping, right? So what about those people and the other people that are losing their job, losing their wages, that need unemployment and need help to get another job or to get, you know, get so we can get back to whatever or move forward to the new future. I'm going to start saying that, move forward to the new future. So we need to understand what is happening for everyone around us. And I know there's many of my friends out there as well as people that we support that are living off of Social Security and their retirements and things of that nature, and their costs have not changed. The cost of living has not changed. You still need to buy food. You still need to pay your car payment, your car insurance, all these things. Nothing's changed on that end of the spectrum, but maybe the amount of money coming in has. So one of the things that I notice every time I pay a bill, my credit card bill, they ask me the question, am I having difficulty? And I always have to stop and think. I think about it for a moment. I'm like, okay, am I having difficulty? Not yet. And so I won't push the button until I am because I'm not yet. So the reality is if you are, take advantage. There's no shame, okay? You didn't do anything wrong. We're in a pandemic. We're in a pandemic that has lasted all of 2020 because even though we may have gone into shelter in place in March, the first time that we heard about COVID was January. okay? And at that time, we were told everything was going to be all right. And then in February, the numbers started to grow, and we were told everything was going to be all right. And then by March, we had a pandemic. So it started in January. So we've almost had a complete year of living in this positioning. So know that you are not alone and you have done nothing wrong. So use the supports that are out there. So what I also want to share with you is in the state of California, because I pulled this up, it says that there's 2.6 million people who didn't have enough food to eat. That's amazing. And with children, 123,000 children who did not eat in the last 7 days or had more than one meal. I had a friend the other day who told me I didn't eat enough and told me that, you know, you're supposed to eat 4 meals a day. If that is in fact true, those 1,773,000 children only didn't eat 4 meals. They only ate one. And which one do they eat? Do they eat the one in the morning to get them going, or do they eat the one in the evening to help them to go to bed without their stomachs growling? Because the schools are closed. I know many of the schools are trying to make sure that they have food. There's a couple of schools here where the parents can come and drive and get food and all of that. And, you know, let's support schools in doing that. Let's help them to make sure that they can support families during this time, because if the schools were open, the children would at least have an early morning snack, an afternoon, and definitely a lunch. So those are the things that are happening in our world today. Not caught up on rent. 1 in 6 renters nationwide not caught up on rent. I just want to make sure I give you all the facts, and then we'll talk about what we can do. 1 in 3 adults nationwide covering usual household expenses. High unemployment. Let's see. Unemployment in the state of California. Unemployment rate from July to the September is 11% of the population per month. Getting into unemployment. So what we are seeing in not just here in California, but throughout the United States, is the impact that COVID is having on all of our lives. It is creating a situation, I think we're in crises. It's more than just a healthcare crisis. It's a financial crisis. We are in recession, right? And how do we get out of a recession? How do we plan to make it through a recession? Jason Matthews will be here next week to tell us how to do that, but I'll tell you some of the things that I'm doing. I'm not using my credit cards, except for gas. I do use it to put gas in my car so I can track that. But other than that, all I'm doing is paying. And I'm doubling up payments, and a couple of them I paid off and put them away, not to be used again until COVID-19 or an extreme emergency. COVID-19 goes away, or an extreme emergency comes where I need it. So I don't know if you can do that. I'm just telling you again what I'm doing. And so I'm trying not to spend any money whatsoever. I saw a sweater yesterday. Oh, my gosh, beautiful sweater. And it was $135, and I was so tempted because I got my Santa Saver money, and I thought, no, it'll be on sale in a couple of weeks because nobody's going to pay that money for that sweater. So think about stuff. Use a little discernment before you spend money. Don't spend money that you don't have to spend at this particular moment, and sock as much of it away as you can. I just said something that I hope you caught. I still do Santa Saver. I happen to be a part of a credit union, been a Golden One Credit Union member for 30 whatever years, as long as I lived in California. And I put money into my Santa Saver Club, and so my Christmas never comes out of my pocket. It comes out of my Santa Saver. Whatever I've saved in my Santa Saver, that's what Christmas is, Thanksgiving is, and when it's gone, everything is stopped for that holidays or for those holidays. And you know what? Let's do Christmas different this year. Let's just love each other up. That's the best gift you can give, you know, folks. Make a gift. You know, last year Jade made me a card, and it was the best card because she made it. And so, of course, it's in the box of family heirlooms for that they're going to have to get rid of when I die. But but for now, they're in the family heirloom box because I like to look at them. But, you know, let's change our lifestyle a little bit. We've had to change it because of COVID, you know, in many, many ways. But this is the time that, you know, Amazon, we can take a break from you. And I love Amazon. I love coming home and getting my little Amazon package. But at the end of the day, let's take a break from spending so much money. And whatever it is for you, whatever your Achilles heel is, mine is shoes, okay? I love shoes. But I did a count the other day, and I have enough shoes. And so I will not be purchasing any shoes until after COVID. That's going to be my sort of fasting thing from spending money. So find something where you spend money on something that you don't really need, and stop spending the money there until after COVID. And you know, put that money aside. If you would normally do it, put that money aside, like, and figure out at the end of COVID or at the end of this journey that we're on, figure out how much money you have saved. And I bet you'll have enough money to take yourself on a vacation somewhere. So try to use money and not let money use you. I did a Dave Ramsey financial piece program, oh God, decades ago now, and it was the best program that I could have ever participated in financially. I'm not telling you that I'm 100% out of debt because I'm paying college tuitions for children still, but at the end of the day, the credit card stuff and the purchasing things outside of my means and all of that, I got a handle on how to handle that. So taking a financial management class is a really great thing to do because you know what we do? We pass our financial stuff on to our children. So we pass the way we think about money, spend money, we pass that on. And so let's give them a legacy of saving and not spending as much money, and that's where social media and television and magazines and all those things come into play. They lure us into spending money that we don't need to spend. And so sometimes turning those things off and knowing that they really are just trying to get your money, and half of the things that they say those things do, they don't do. So financial sustainability starts with you and starts with you pass that legacy on to your family. So I just wanted to come this morning after Jason told me he could not be with us this morning, and just to say good morning and to really touch base with all of you around what I was hearing about finances and what people were experiencing. If there's something that you do that helps you to stay afloat financially in this time of pandemic, write it in the chat, share it with us so that we can share it with others, or you will share it with others. If we're off the air by the time you think of something, put it in the comment area when the video goes up so that we can begin to support each other through with the things that are working for us. And then at the next week, Jason will come on and give us some more financial tips and give us a better understanding what this recession is all about. So we've come to the end of our time, and it always goes by so very, very quickly. And I just want to say to all of you, my family out there, family, friends, and my people who are not friends, you know, if you showed up and you're not my friend, that's okay. I just want to say, you know, these have been very difficult days for everyone, difficult days for for you, for me, for our children, for the Asian folks. I was hearing that our Asian brothers and sisters are out there buying guns because they're nervous about some of the rhetoric that COVID-19, that they're responsible for COVID-19 and all of this. Just noise. It's just negative noise. While we're home, sheltering in place, let's search who we are and understand that we share this world with a variety of people. They don't all look like us. They all don't act like us. They're not us, many of them. But the thing that makes them us is that they are human beings. And because they are human beings, we belong to the same subset of creation. And that means we have an obligation to each other, first to be the best we can be, and then to not go out into the world and be negative and judgmental and mean and making up stuff and attacking people and waiting for people to fail so that you can point finger at them or judging them when you think that they're not acting within your value structure. If you don't get up and go over and talk to them, you may never know who that person is. I did a training yesterday, and it's called 90%, and it's the iceberg training. And only 10% of who a person is what you ever see. The 90% that makes the difference, the stuff you don't see, you must be intentional, and you have to be able to communicate with people to find out about that 90% in order to connect. And when you don't, you're dealing only with what you see and with what you smell. And guess what? What you see can be deceiving. You can be fooled. But when you start dealing with this, the heart never lies. It may get you confused when you fall in love when you're young. I remember that. But it doesn't lie to you because you still know the truth. And as you get older, you know that. So we're supposed to have a windy Sunday, so be careful. Be careful. And take care of yourself. Where's my mask? Wear your mask. Use your hand sanitizer, but only like three times. Wash your hands in between. This is no good if you don't wash your hand. Don't be using hand sanitizer all day. It's not effective. You got to wash your hands. Take care of yourself. Hug yourself. And know that you are better than you think you are. And I thank you for joining me on Life is the Sacred Journey. Share this, hit the share button, have your own virtual party, and we'll be back next Friday morning at 8 o'clock. Peace be with you, and take care of yourself. Bye-bye.